The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Yes, good day, tokers and tokens, and welcome. It is Tuesday, December 18th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to show number 111 live here from Rology Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon. Thanks for being here. We got plenty of stuff to get to, including breaking news here in the Portland, Vancouver area that has marijuana activists all across the country shaking in their boots. A man was charged with in Vancouver, Washington, with vehicular homicide and marijuana DUI after hitting and killing a pedestrian last night on a busy five-lane road. We'll give you all the details. I've got pictures of the intersection, not the accident, but of the intersection. You can make your own decisions on who was culpable in this accident. We'll get to that in the Radical Rant today at the end of the show. Before we get to that, let's introduce in our studio here, we got Brian the Red hanging out. How you doing, Brian? Nice to see you.
Hey there, Russ. How's it going?
It's going very, very well. We also have a guest in the studio who'll be on at half past, and that is Matthew Martinier, who's here representing a petition to free five pot POWs who are, you know, in their 60s or later, wasn't it? Pretty old folks who are basically serving out the rest of their life for marijuana offenses. It's ridiculous. We'll give them the chance to give you all the details on this and tell you how you can get involved, how you can sign these petitions to President Obama to please give these men clemency, release them from prison. They're no danger to society. There's no need to keep them locked up for the rest of their lives. Also on today's show for Electric Tuesday at 20 after, we'll get to your break there and give you some, well, it's not electric music today. I've decided to go world music on you today. And keeping with our holiday theme, we're going to bring you a song called God Bless Ye Three Kings. I think it's a mashup, so we'll check that out. It's from a group called Tribekistan, coming up at 20 after. In our Behind the Headlines today, we're continuing on with our look at the top five events in marijuana in 2012. Yesterday, we did the top five stupid prohibition stories. Today, we've got the top five reefer madness stories. That's right, the craziest things that were claimed about marijuana, how the sky would fall if you took it, how society would end if we legalize it. We'll talk about the top five coming up after. After the news, we've got plenty of news headlines to get to as well. We'll get to that right after this first break. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show. Thanks for joining us here on your Cannabis Community Radio. Be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to The Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Pot 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
Now it's time for your marijuana headlines for today, December 18th, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. Medical marijuana activist makes his first legal purchase in Montclair. This from NJ.com. Jay Lassiter has been HIV positive for 20 years, and for just as long, he has been a self-described criminal for trying to buy pot to ease the gut-wrenching nausea he suffers because of his treatment. His criminal activity ended at 2:45 p.m. today when he walked out of Greenleaf Compassion Center after making his first legal marijuana purchase at the Bloomfield Avenue shop. Greenleaf, New Jersey's first alternative treatment center, what the state is calling dispensaries, opened December 6th. Registered patients have been seen by appointment only so far. This is a joyous day, said the 40-year-old activist who lobbied lawmakers in Trenton to pass the law permitting marijuana to be sold as medicine. This will help me manage the disease that will kill me, Lassiter said. He said he spent about $400 to sample the three strains of the drug Greenleaf sells. A quarter ounce of marijuana is selling for $110, plus sales tax, according to patients. Lassiter is the first patient who was willing to be identified and to discuss his experience. All told, Lassiter has spent nearly $1,000 in doctor visits, state registry fees, and the drug before I take my first puff, he says. I am convinced more than ever that this is a rich man's remedy, he added. Marijuana grower sentenced to federal prison on Monday, from recorderonline.com. Large-scale marijuana growers in Tulare County were sentenced Monday in federal court. United States Attorney Benjamin B. Wagner has announced that Jermaine Madrigal was sentenced to 5 years in federal prison for possessing a loaded .38-caliber revolver to advance a marijuana-growing conspiracy in the Sequoia National Forest. According to court documents, 16,205 marijuana plants and more than 850 pounds of processed marijuana was found in the Sentinel Peak area of the forest in Tulare County. A loaded .223 Bushmaster assault rifle with two magazines containing 49 rounds of ammunition, a pellet rifle with a scope, and a .45-caliber handgun were also seized from the marijuana grow site. Madrigal was ordered to pay $3,686 in restitution to the U.S. Forest Service for the cost of cleaning up the damage caused by the cultivation operation. Native vegetation was cut down to make room for the marijuana plants. Trash and fertilizer containers were scattered throughout the site, including in a flowing stream. Military helicopters aid in Larimer County, Colorado marijuana bus. This from 9news.com. He heard the clattering of rotors above Fort Collins became a common sound this year as helicopters fought the summer's wildfires and then blanketed burned areas with straw. But there's been another reason helicopters have been flying above the city: local cops using military helicopters to make marijuana bus across Larimer County. According to court documents, an investigator with the Larimer County Sheriff's Office conducted aerial surveillance from a Colorado National Guard helicopter at least twice this summer. Investigator Josh Sheldon said in court documents that he flew over suspected pot grows on August 24th and August 31st, taking photographs of properties in Wellington, Bellevue, and the High Park Fireburn area. Sheldon then got search warrants from a local judge, allowing deputies to descend upon the suspected grow operations. The take from two connected bus, 154 plants, 7 rifles, pistols, and shotguns, Vicodin, hashish, and OxyContin. Said Lance Clem, a spokesman for the Colorado Department of Public Safety, quote, The local task forces just don't have the resources for air support. Those kind of assets can help the locals quite a bit. From WRIC Richmond, Virginia, police respond to Ashland house fire, find marijuana operation. When police and fire crews responded to a Jamestown Road home to put out a fire, they discovered a complex marijuana grow consisting of 90 plants in two locations on the property. Officers also found numerous assault rifles, shotguns, and pistols inside the residence, along with a significant amount of ammunition. Finally, marijuana may be the next big growth sector in the U.S. stock market, according to SeekingAlpha.com. Emerging from the cultivation and growing of the plant, the sales and distribution such as dispensaries and niche businesses such as cannabis restaurants. A series of new businesses include Medbox, Medical Marijuana Inc., and Cannabis Science Inc., all traded on the Pink Sheet Stock Exchange. And that's your marijuana headlines for December 18th, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we will go behind the headlines on our continuing look at the top five events in marijuana this year. Today, we take a look at the top five reefer madness stories. Please stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines.
The Russ Belville Show.
Thanks, Dan. Time for us to go behind the headlines and taking a look at the top five events in marijuana this year, 2012. And yesterday we took a look at the top five stupid prohibition stories. Today we get to take a look at the top five reefer madness stories that I've collected on my blog at RadicalRust.com and my previous entries out there at stash.normal.org. So let's get right to it. Top five reefer madness stories of 2012. Number five, cheap, expensive, overtaxed legal pot won't bring in enough tax revenue. That's right. Marijuana legalization was approved in two states, and everyone in the marijuana legalization movement is waiting for the other shoe to drop. But when we hear from the Drug Enforcement Agency, we get nothing. We've gotten really no response for them on how this will be enforced. But we took a look at one of their pages on what their opinion was on marijuana legalization. And so they said that legalization would cause the price of marijuana to plummet, triggering increases in the use of the drug. Oh, okay, so price would go down, so more people would use it. Got it. Illegality keeps prices higher, and because drug use is sensitive to price among young people, higher prices keep use rates relatively low. Okay, so in order to keep kids from smoking pot, we have to make it more expensive than it would naturally be and give extra profits to the criminals and murderers who traffic in it. Okay, got it. Under the most commonly proposed legalization regime, one that imposes high taxes on marijuana, violent drug cartels would simply undercut the legal price to keep their market share. Wait a minute. So we're going to tax it real high to keep people from using it, but it'll be so cheap that everybody will be using it, but it'll be so expensive that the cartels will undercut the price to make everyone use it. All right, that's the kind of reefer madness you can expect from our federal government. But it's not just here in America. No, no, if you want to get the real reefer madness, you got to go overseas. So number four on our list of reefer madness for 2012, more British reefer madness on marijuana and schizophrenia. All right, so this is over in the UK, and they had a big headline where they talked about, is this the tobacco moment? And the tobacco moment meaning, you know, the point where we realized that we couldn't, you know, just keep smoking cigarettes and it wasn't healthy. And it had to do with this this essay that was written by a man whose young son, now in his 20s or 30s, I think, was schizophrenic and had smoked a lot of marijuana and the terrible things that had happened. And this man, if I can find the quote here, said, this was Sir Robin Murray, professor of psychiatric research in London, said studies show that, quote, if the risk of schizophrenia for the general population is about 1%, evidence is that if you take ordinary cannabis, it is 2%. If you smoke regularly, you might push it up to 4%. And if you smoke skunk every day, you will push it up to 8%. Yes. Okay, so he's saying you got an 8 times greater chance if you're smoking potent marijuana to go schizophrenic. And yet, when we look at all of the studies of the UK from 1950 to the current time, we see no rise in the rates of schizophrenia or psychosis. About 1% of the people are schizophrenic or psychotic, and it doesn't matter how much or if they've been smoking marijuana. Number three. We go down to Australia for this one. Our number three reefer madness story. Marijuana withdrawal on par with cigarette withdrawal. Says someone who's never smoked either. This is a study out of the Australia's University of New South Wales, which has a department that investigates what they call a cannabis withdrawal syndrome. And in there, they said, the effects of withdrawal symptoms were on par with those of people going through nicotine withdrawal. Now, in this study, they gathered up 49 people who smoked pot regularly and made them stop. They experienced tension, insomnia, anxiety, depression, mood swings, and loss of appetite, which makes me wonder why make them stop. Maybe they were using the marijuana to treat some of those problems. And the study also found 10 of the study participants relapsed, and those that did were the ones with the greatest reported symptoms of withdrawal. So we have a withdrawal that's so terrible, almost 80% of those who suffer it don't relapse. And that's your Australian reefer madness for you. Number two, reefer madness of 2012, marijuana activists force removal of meth girl billboards in Portland, Oregon. Yes, the meth girl billboards. Now, if you never got a chance to see that, I'll bring the video screen up here for you so you can see exactly what we were talking about. This is the meth girl billboard that appeared while we were trying to legalize marijuana with Measure 80. Now, of course, we added the other stuff to it. But it says, marijuana, what's good about it? Nothing. And then it has a picture of an actress who was made up for a anti-methamphetamine campaign in Vancouver, Washington. Various activists in Portland, Oregon got together and called out against this billboard, including our friend Brave Michaela, who posted a Facebook video on it that helped to get a lot of attention for this nationally. These billboards were taken down in shame, and the Oregon activist community can be proud of themselves for fighting against this kind of insipid reefer madness. And finally, the number one reefer madness of 2012 is just about everything said by the anti-I-502 people. Just about everything. I've got a top five list of that on its own, but one of them was, you'll never be able to drive a car. Never, ever. You'll always be an automatic DUID. Everybody. Even people that just visit Washington State from out of state who've never smoked marijuana in their life and smoked pot once and then never, you know, get behind the wheel until the next day, they'd be automatic too. That was one of the reefer madnesses. Another one of the reefer madnesses, it's not true legalization, it's just decriminalization. No. Legalization is when something's not contraband. I talked to a friend last night who got pulled over and got caught with weed here in Oregon. And even though it's decriminalized, how we have decrim, cops took it from her. And didn't even write her a ticket. She got lucky. She didn't get the ticket. Cops took the weed from her. They cannot do that to you in Washington State, where it's legal. They also said with all the taxes, marijuana is going to cost $600 an ounce. Yeah, we'll see about that. That it was a conspiracy to control pot smokers in the marijuana market. Mm-hmm. And that it would set a terrible precedent, despite the fact that Colorado has set a precedent as well that doesn't have any sort of per se DUID and does allow for home growing. We actually have two precedents, it would seem. Oh my goodness, look at the time.
My, how time flies when we do a mini rant.
That's right. So that's our top five, Reefer Madness. We will be back with some 20 after music for you. Some world music for Electric Tuesday.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
Well, I don't know what you can do, but what we can
That's right, baby. We're keeping the funk alive right here at Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Ring, your groovy home of soul, funk, and disco. So join me, Big Daddy, every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, at the Funky Roller Ring, where every night is Saturday night.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
May have mentioned it earlier on yesterday's show, or last week even, but today and this week are the last week of 2012 that we'll be doing live shows. So that's your schedule update. This week is it for the rest of 2012. We'll be back on January 7th, and there'll be all sorts of new little surprises and things going on then, so stay tuned for that. During the two-week break, we'll be playing replays and lots of music as well. I'm going to pump up more music in the replay lineup while we're gone on break. Doing all sorts of upgrades and fixes and additions, and I think you'll really enjoy it. For today, for our Electric Tuesday, I'm going to switch gears a little bit and go into a little bit of world music. This is a group that's called Tribekistan, and what I was reading about them said they had kind of a world slash jazz feel to them, and their album is called The Twisted Christmas, and from what I gather, it's a bunch of kind of mashed together Christmas tunes to give kind of a new flavor of on both of them. So this is one such tune. It's by Tribekistan. It's called God Rest Ye Three Kings.
Thank you.
if I'm high right now, I am not. That is not nearly enough to get me high.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here. The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're just about half past the hour, and we are joined in studio with a live guest today, so I'm very excited to get to this interview. It's Matthew Martinier, have I got that pronounced? I'm still struggling.
Russ. Yes, it's a hard name.
All right, who is here representing a petition we talked about here on the show before, a petition for clemency to relieve five elderly petitioners from life without parole sentences for marijuana. Now, I've got a copy of the petition here. Very well done. Nice little graphic there as well. Also, very pleased to see on this, it's from the law offices of Michael Kennedy, big friend of the show, big friend of ours. So can you tell us a little bit about the petition and who this affects?
Well, Russ, I want to first thank you really sincerely, not only for the great show that you guys do, but really to be doing it with humor and compassion. And this is going to be kind of a serious thing, but I want to also maintain kind of our scope and sense of what's going on here. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely unfathomable that these five people are going to be dying in prison.
And who are the five, by the way?
These are five prisoners that have been sentenced over, have been serving sentences of at least 15 and an average of 19 years. John Nock, Paul Free, Larry Duke, Billy Deckel, and Charles Cundiff, Fred Cundiff.
Okay.
And what Michael has done and what we've done in trying to support not only this petition, but to get the word out, and again, what we're truly indebted to you to help us get this word out, is these five petitioners are making a petition for clemency, and what they have in common is that all of these inmates are elder inmates. They've served an average of 19 years already in prison. They have no violence at all in their cases and no violence in their past. And all the offenses that they've been charged with and convicted of are marijuana only. They were all sentenced to life without parole. And many people aren't aware of this, but a federal life sentence without parole is really a death sentence.
Right.
It's a slow death sentence. The only way that you get out of prison is your family will come and pick up the body, and the marshals literally unhandcuff the body. And all were sentenced under the minimum mandatories. Four of them were charged and sentenced in the Northern District of Florida, mm-hmm. the 11th Circuit. The judge there, Maurice Paul, when he first took the bench, he was appointed by Ronald Reagan. I think he was on Barbara Walters 60 Minutes at the time and said that he was a warrior in the war on drugs, and before he would retire, he would mete out at least 1 million years in sentences.
Wow. So, and, you know, a big friend of our show is, you know, speaking of Florida, Robert Platshorn, who did 29 years. He was sentenced to 64. This was before the mandatory minimums, though, so he got out. He got parole. Now, he's on parole still now. This doesn't even exist for these prisoners. They don't have that option.
Exactly. Once the mandatory minimums came in 1988, even people who were out of the business became ensnared.
Yeah.
And, you know, these were all conspiracy convictions. And finally, all of these five prisoners exercised their Sixth Amendment right. And by exercising their Sixth Amendment right, means that you went to trial and you asked the government and the prosecutor to actually prove their case. Now, we all know that the conspiracy is the most flimsy and easiest type of case to pull together. And, mm-hmm. and when your trial is in what I refer to as the Torquemada of the federal judiciary, which is the 11th Circuit in the Northern District of Florida, I think John Nock received two life sentences plus 20 years. Mm-hmm. But Maurice Paul is a warrior in the war on drugs, and it's there's So what we're here for and what we're asking you, and really it can be not only to get the word out, but to support the petition. Now, we filed a petition on November 21st, and I'd love to be able to direct your listeners to several websites. We've got Life for Pot. So it's www.lifeforpot.org. And I already explained to Russ before the show started, I am an IT illiterate. I served 3 years in federal prison myself. And when you get out, you're always behind. And I continue to be behind. So you all have to bear with me. And we also have another website. It's the www.pardonpower.com, which is extremely informative and also has some of the same lists the petition that Michael has filed with the pardon attorney, and also has a website, the Obama administration. It's called Washington.gov. Again, I have to apologize, I'm stumbling, but it's the WhiteHouse.gov, I believe. And we've opened a petition where literally you can open up the Life for Pot website and read the petition, and also on the webpage there's you can click on and access and open up the White House petition. Mm-hmm. And I think I did this the other day. It's simply a question. You give them an email address, you open an account, and then you can sign on to the petition. Before I came up from San Francisco, I think we had about 6,000 plus petitioners. What we're trying to do is to make an impact to get 25,000 people by December 29th. And I'll tell you, for the five guys in prison, you couldn't give them an easier Christmas present.
Absolutely.
Or holiday present than to open up that website.
If you know what this is, you know what this is. This is the White House Open for Questions. It used to be called Open for Questions. Now it's the petition. We the People, I think, is what they're called.
Exactly,
we the People petition site. And this is the one where we got our petitions for legalizing. We got our petitions for, you know, global warming, whatever the hell other petition there is out there. This one's out there. It's at whitehouse.gov. Just look for the We the People. Just Google that. You'll be able to find it. And we're up to around 6,900, 6,700 signatures at the moment. We need to get this over 25,000, because the reason why, when it gets over 25,000, they have to issue a response. I mean, they've agreed that they will issue a response if it gets over 25,000. There's plans for a Death Star that have over 25,000 signatures right now. So come on now. Let's get over 25,000 to get these five prisoners who are serving life without any parole, a death sentence basically, a slow death sentence. Let's get some help for these guys. We'll post it up in our blog too. We'll give you all the links and all that. But let's go back to Matthew here, because, you know, this story of these poor prisoners is just, it's just heartbreaking. And I think a lot of, you know, just the general public out there, they know pot's illegal. They know it's bad. Okay. And they know people get punished for it, but I don't think they realize this level of punishment.
And the federal system is particularly draconian.
Now, were these guys offered, you'd mentioned that they, you know, took their Sixth Amendment right to take it to trial. Had they been offered plea deals?
I think each case is different, mm-hmm. but they all went to trial. Mm-hmm. The cases that were made against them were made through testimony from informants or people in the chain of distribution, mm-hmm. and they were all conspiracy charges. So the individual defendants who were charged, and these have been going on now for 20 years when the trials were happening, the plea and the plea agreements, I actually don't know yeah. what agreements or arrangements were offered or provided. I do know one defendant who actually made a plea agreement with disgorged, I think, hundreds of millions of dollars in assets, but the plea agreement was he attempted to withdraw it, and the government refused the plea agreement to be withdrawn, mm-hmm. and he also is serving a life sentence. He is not included in this five because he first made a plea agreement, but the government did not allow him to withdraw it and go to trial.
Gotcha.
So what we have here is we have five defendants who all went to trial and who have all served at least 20 years or 19 years.
Right.
And And who will die in prison.
And meanwhile, the criminal bankers at HSBC who laundered $9 billion worth of money and admitted to it, laundering it for terrorists and drug cartels, I'm sorry I'm being redundant, admitted to it, and they get not one criminal charge. These guys are in for 20 years already, almost all of them, 19 average, right? And they're going to rot in prison? This is just an... I keep saying things like outrage and abomination. I want to make up new words. They're not even big enough to explain this.
It's an incredible disparity, and I think one of the things that is really important for us to understand and really to do, because the Obama administration so far has in the 4 years, it's only been 22 commutations or mm-hmm. clemencies. And what makes this unique is it's not an individual petition, it's a group petition. And we've put together this commonality because to take the politics out of the pardon process, to take the criticism, you know, historically the Republican administrations were pardoning the stockbrokers. And the Democratic administration were pardoning other. So by focusing really on the issue of marijuana, focusing on the issue of the nonviolent nature of these offenses, focusing on the rehabilitation of all of these five have done their entire time in prison has spent rehabilitating themselves, being not only model citizens, prisoners, but adding and benefiting their fellow inmates as they're doing their time. Mm-hmm. And they all have families to come out to, even in their 70s and 60s. Absolutely zero chance of any purpose to keep these prisoners locked up for any length of time. And even from an economic standpoint, it's an absolute not only waste under our you know budgetary problems, but to keep these five prisoners in jail under the type and level of custody that they're continue to be kept in, and with the physical condition, as you get older, you require more care. We're talking $500,000+ a year, mm-hmm. and for what purpose?
Yeah, you know, I wonder how much the recent election will make a difference in this in the administration's mind. I mean, a lot of these guys probably doing time for conspiracies to produce, traffic, and distribute marijuana that the state of Washington and Colorado will be engaging in. They will be doing those conspiracies. They'll be breaking the same federal law. So is there a cultural shift here that might help them out?
Well, that's the ultimate irony. And, you know, this irony has been going on for really decades. As I told you, I myself did 3 years in federal prison over a marijuana conspiracy. I practiced law for 18 years. When I finished my time and came out of prison in San Francisco, there was one of the first medical marijuana dispensaries four blocks from my old office. And that was back in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're hoping is that given the paucity of the Obama administration in granting clemencies and pardons during his first 4 years, that now without the fear and the political kind of retribution and criticism that could happen, that you can actually focus on this with reality-based, both in terms of economics, in terms of justice, in terms of equality in sentencing, and just honest to goodness, humanity.
Yeah, it makes no sense for us to be doing this. And I thank you, Matthew Martinier, for helping and putting this petition together. We've got to go to another segment, but in hour two, we take calls. If you're welcome to stick around and take some calls if you want.
I'm happy to do so. And I thank you again, Russ, for
allowing me to
come.
My pleasure. All right, when we come back, we'll have time for a little bit of a radical rant on some breaking news here in the Vancouver, Washington, Portland, Oregon area. Has huge implications for I-502 and marijuana legalization.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancer, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence in suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects from medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reaction, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairments, appetite increase, and in some U.S. states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
Radical rant.
All right, folks, a story hit here last night in Vancouver, Washington, which is just right across the river from us here in Portland, Oregon. This one we're going to call Marijuana Blamed for Death of Careless Pedestrian in Vancouver, Washington. Let me start by just saying every day at lunch, I have my studio here in Portland, and I walk my dog Roscoe to the park. The park is a block away from my studio across the very busy Oregon Highway 213, which is otherwise known as Northeast 82nd Avenue. Where my cross street meets 82nd Avenue, I could just walk myself and Roscoe directly across the five lane, you know, one of those five, two one way, two the other way, center turn lane kind of five lane roads, right? I could just go right across there at the corner. However, wanting to be as safe as possible, I walk them an extra block north where there's a designated crosswalk, complete with one of those center median islands. And when I go out at night, I carry a little blinking light with me as well. Now, in Oregon, when one stops into a designated crosswalk, cars traveling in both directions are to stop until the crosswalk is empty. Yet nearly every day when I approach that center median and look toward the oncoming northbound traffic, it's a guess whether they're going to stop for me and my dog. And that's in a marked crosswalk, right? All right, so when I hear a tale of some pedestrian carrying no light who was hit at night on a busy, wet, five-lane road who didn't bother to use a nearby designated crosswalk, part of me just chalks that up to natural selection. I'm sorry. I'd like to have more concern here, but sorry. There's reasons why we have crosswalks. Now, here's the story. In Vancouver, Washington last night, just across the river from Portland, such an accident occurred. But if you follow the coverage from Portland's KGW, our local NBC affiliate, you'd believe the only reason the pedestrian is dead is because marijuana was legalized in Washington State. This is from the KGW report. A man who reportedly struck and killed a pedestrian early Monday evening was cited for DUI marijuana. The driver was westbound on Mill Plain, and the pedestrian reportedly stepped onto the street from a median. The pedestrian was dead when officers arrived. The driver remained at the scene and cooperated with police. A second driver nearly hit the pedestrian. The arrest comes weeks after the possession of marijuana was made legal by a statewide vote in November. How police enforce pot-impaired driving laws has been part of the public policy debate since the vote.
All right, so that's the KDW story. And when you look at that story, it also contains links in it to other alarmist stories about the Vancouver police preparing for the onslaught of stone drivers post-legalization. Gosh, you'd think nobody ever smoked marijuana in Washington before December 6th, and police were just now getting around to the idea that some might drive impaired. But I thought it was a little fishy. I thought, you know, it sounds like there's some details missing here. Driver just got, you know, hit a guy in a crosswalk. Where was he hit? Well, when I dig into the Columbian, now the Columbian's the local newspaper in Vancouver, Washington. I dig a little deeper in the Columbian. Here's their write-up. Vancouver police were called to the scene at 5:50 p.m. Okay, so it's nighttime because the sun goes down about 4:28 here in Vancouver. Witnesses said the man had been crossing Mill Plain in front of Safeway carrying a grocery bag. Safeway is a grocery store out here, by the way. He crossed the eastbound lanes, stopped in a median, and then walked into westbound traffic. A man driving a black Hyundai Sonata in the left lane slammed on the brakes to avoid hitting the pedestrian. The pickup in the right lane struck the pedestrian, witnesses said. The man, who was not in a crosswalk, was dead when the police arrived. Now, let me give you a picture of this so you can get an idea of what we're looking at. This is the Google Map image, the Google Map Street View image of the location where this accident happened. Now, you can see I've circled right here where there is a busy Safeway grocery store. Okay, you can see that big red circle, busy Safeway grocery store, and my little red stick figure of a man crossing the busy five-lane road, right, at the well-lit, signal-controlled crosswalk. This is where you're supposed to cross, right? Now, this, of course, is a daytime photo, so remember, this would be at night, and this would also be last night when it was quite cold and rainy and wet and dark, okay? So as we see where the crosswalk is here, this is the other lane of traffic where the man was hit. Can you see that? Can you see the little stick figure? Look in that circle where it says tree-lined median. That's where the other guy would have been coming out with his shopping bag crossing away from where the crosswalk is. Now, you can see in that circle, the circle on the left, there is a car from, and this is from, again, from the Google photo, but that would be just about where the black Hyundai Sonata would have slammed on its brakes and come to a stop. So here you have a guy coming in the right lane, traveling at 35 miles an hour at least, with a green light, and a guy in the dark comes from behind a tree, behind another car that's already stopped, and then gets hit. Now, why is he going across that part of this busy five-lane road instead of traveling in the well-lit, signal-controlled crosswalk? Because there's a bus stop right there. There's a bus stop across from that median, and the C-Tran bus that picks people up at that stop stops there at a schedule of 5:43 p.m. But those C-Tran buses during rush hour are oftentimes late. So my hypothesis here is that the guy who got hit was a bus rider, went to the Safeway store and got some groceries, trying to catch the 5:43 bus. But rather than walk the extra 350 feet necessary to get to the well-lit signal-controlled crosswalk, he decides to take a shortcut to the bus stop by crossing in the middle of a wet, five-lane busy road in the dark during the 5 o'clock rush hour. All right. So that's where we stand with this. Now, this, like I said, I open this up telling you that I walk across roads like this every day with my dog, and sometimes at night too. And we have a similar intersection just blocks away from my home. A very similar situation. Let me give you another picture here, another Google Earth picture of Northeast 82nd Avenue. This is close to where I live. This is, now, you can see we've got Northeast 82nd Avenue, and there's my little stick figure again, in the well-lit, signal-controlled crosswalk. But where this bus stop is, this circle in the middle of the screen right now, is also a train platform. There's actually an elevator and a stairs there where you go down to the next level to catch a train. And off to the left side of the frame, there's another busy bus stop for the east-west route. I think there's, what, two that come north-south and one that goes east-west, or two that go east-west, one that goes north-south, whatever. There's a lot of buses that stop there. Now, what used to happen quite a bit is people would get off the train and run up them stairs and just run right across the five-lane road to get to the other side of 82nd, where, if you can see the small circle on the right, is yet another bus stop. So people would do that quite a bit. They would get out of the bus, they'd get out of the train or the bus stop on the left, big circle, run right across the median to go over to that bus stop over on the right. So you know what Portland did? They put in a median barrier. They put in this wall. You can see this wall here with these spines sticking up out of it that would be impossible for you to leap or jump across. A median barrier preventing impatient pedestrians from stupidly crossing in the middle of five-lane roads outside of a well-lit, signal-controlled crosswalk. But sadly, thanks to Washington's new DUID law, the driver's attorney can make all these same arguments about reckless pedestrians ignoring traffic laws, a dark and wet night causing conditions to be more difficult, and a poorly planned stretch of road construction virtually inviting mid-street crossing with a tree-lined rest stop of a median in the middle of the road. They can make all those arguments, but it won't matter if the client's blood shows more than 5 nanograms THC. He was a stone driver at fault. They even make a point of that in the KGW report where they say the pedestrian who had broken the law by jaywalking, crossing the road, would be at fault if this guy were a sober driver. Had he been sober, well, it had just been an accident. But since he had pot in his system, apparently, or according to police, he's guilty of DUI, marijuana, and possibly vehicular manslaughter. But you know what? It is possible that at 5 nanograms or greater, the guy was too stoned to drive. Maybe he was too stoned to drive. It's possible that had he not smoked pot, a split second better reaction time being totally sober might have led to seeing the pedestrian in time. The point is, we can't know. We can't tell. The mere fact that he had 5 nanograms, if he did, is not enough to give us a real judgment on that. But you know what else is possible? It's possible the driver might have looked down to change radio stations or picked up a cell phone call or dropped the tobacco cigarette he's smoking and still misses seeing the pedestrian and hits him and kills him. But there's no blood tests for using your cell phone or dropping your tobacco cigarette or changing your radio station to determine what other reckless acts he was engaged in prior to the accident. In other words, the pot smoker might be totally responsible, smoking only at home, allowing 4 hours to pass before driving, feeling completely unimpaired, and he'd have no clue what his blood THC levels are. But in a situation like this one, he'll be culpable merely for being a pot smoker, while the radio listening, cell phone talking, tobacco smoking driver would be getting sympathy for being the victim of an unavoidable accident, and KGW would just run some quick pedestrian hit and killed story, and we'd be done with it. And yes, even after all this, I'd still vote for I-502. Get over it. This guy would have been charged with DUI marijuana even with the old law. And if he's got a double-digit THC reading, he'd probably be convicted. I-502 is the law now, and these per se DUIDs suck, so let's put all the anger and told-you-sos toward fixing this. This situation wouldn't have been much better under current DUI laws in any state, much less this. And this guy has a chance, if the reading comes back at less than 5, of being able to use that in his defense, being able to say, I was below the legal limit. Now, after this story broke, and I wrote up about it, I knew that it was only a matter of time before, you know, certain pot-smoking bloggers who voted against legalization and helped support the drug czar would pick up on the story as well. And so after that, I decided to take a little more digging and find out if there are new updates on the story, and sure enough, there were. The Vancouver DUI marijuana suspect appeared in court today, and we've got updates from the Columbian. From the Columbian, quote, Scotty Rolls, told police that he had recently smoked, quote, a bowl of marijuana about 1 hour to 1.5 hours before the collision, according to a probable cause affidavit. How many times do I have to tell you people, shut the fuck up? Really, God forbid any of you accidentally hit someone and kill them, but if you do, shut the fuck up. Call your attorney. Do not talk to police. You know what? I also wonder where he smoked that bowl, because this guy's from Milwaukee, Oregon, and that's a 30-minute drive away from the accident site, and that's not in 5 o'clock traffic. So if he said he smoked a bowl an hour to an hour and a half before, that means that he probably smoked a half hour or an hour before getting behind the wheel. So, look, he also, they could smell pot on him, and he failed a sobriety test, according to the cops. Folks, just as it was before 502, if you hit and kill a pedestrian and fail a sobriety test, you get charged with DUI and vehicular manslaughter. If he's failing a sobriety test, maybe he smoked more than just a bowl. And maybe it was sooner than 30 to 60 minutes before he chose to drive. Let's just see what this guy's blood test comes back before claiming that he was completely not at fault here.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Folks, that's all the time we got here. I'm Radical Russ for Brian the Red. Thanks for joining us. Come back for hour two. Our guest, Matthew Martinier, is taking phone calls here on the clemency petition. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.